11. Jagatfell eased his clawcraft into a long, spiraling descent over Ithor, searching the lifeless sphere for some remnant of the once verdant world he'd fought to save. The dark, rocky planet bore a distressing resemblance to a Yuuzhan Vong ship. Dry riverbeds gouged the surface like the scars on the faces of their warriors. It was said that the invaders believed themselves created in the image of their gods. Apparently, they were determined to pass along the favor. Jag's comm crackled.
"What do you hope to find here, Commander?"
inquired a low-pitched female voice.
"A reminder," he said softly. "This is why we've come, Shonkir. This is why the enemy must be stopped."
He pulled his ship into close formation with his wingmate, close enough to see into the TIE fighter ball cockpit of the Chiss craft.
Shonkir Nuru Odo's
pale blue face was composed, showing neither grief for Ithor nor condemnation of Jagatfell's unorthodox views. Jag wondered, briefly, what Shonkir really thought of their scouting mission. A Chiss warrior did not strike first. This was not only tradition, but a matter of honor. Yet she had followed him to Ithor before, and showed every indication of following him now, regardless of the path he chose.
"Next coordinates?"
she inquired, as if in response to his thoughts. Jag consulted the navigational computer, a feature newly added to his clawcraft, and gave Shonkir the endpoints of a minor hyperspace route.
"That is in the Hapes Cluster," she observed.
"Yes. The Queen of Hapes has opened the interior region world to refugees. If the Yuuzhan Vong follow their pattern, they will attack this system.
House Nuru Odo will wish to hear of this attack, if it occurs."
Jag heard the unspoken words. Shonkir was a member of the powerful House Nuru Odo clan, which commanded the Chiss military. Shonkir's advice would carry considerable weight with the official Chiss military. This scouting mission would influence the path taken by the Chiss under General Fell's command, but it had potential for an even greater impact. Until then, however, Jag and Shonkir were on their own. They could expect little from the desperate people they'd recently abandoned, and could offer them nothing but their own best efforts. They fell silent as they prepared for the hyperspace jump. Their new clawcraft boasted navigational systems and hyperdrives far superior to their accustomed ships, as well as enhanced weapon systems. Jag had no intention of starting trouble, but he intended to walk away from any fight that found him. After winning it, of course. The growing pressure of sublight acceleration pushed him back into his seat. He settled in as darkness enveloped the ship, intending to snatch a short rest during the hyperspace flight. Sensors prodded him awake in what seemed like moments. Shonkir's ship emerged as a blur on his port side, like a nebular haze against the sharper star lines behind. The warning sensors on Jag's console awoke also, but as if from a nightmare, abruptly, screaming. Jag's eyes focused on the slack, terror-stricken faces of two human pilots, clearly visible through the transparasteel dome of the freighter, headed straight at him. He threw his clawcraft into a sharp starboard turn, rising above the larger ship with only meters to spare. Shonkir peeled off in the opposite direction, a smoothly executed evasion honed by years of shared flight. Jag flicked on the comm. "Regroup and pursue. Something must have prompted them to set these coordinates."
"Stupidity?" Shonkir suggested.
His lips twitched, even though he knew full well that his wingmate intended no humor. Shonkir held a typical Chiss disregard for lesser races. He'd learned long ago not to take offense. They sped off, tracing opposite sides of a wide circle, intending to meet in the center and fall into their accustomed side-by-side formation. Their regrouping point exploded into a flare of molten gold. Four coral skippers, visible now in the wake of their shining missiles, advanced in diamond formation, focused upon the fleeing freighter. Again the Chiss vessels peeled away, this time coming back around to flank the attacking ships. Jag veered sharply away from an incoming plasma bolt, and then brought his claw craft screaming up over the tight formation. He held position, and his fingers danced over the controls as he hurled a seemingly random barrage at the Yuuzhan'vong ships. But he observed carefully which laser bolts disappeared into blackness and which slipped past the enemy's organic shields. The answering fire taught him even more. For several moments he evaded plasma bolts and planned next steps. "The enemy is compensating for damage," he informed Shongir. "Wing ships have weapons and shields only on their outer sides. The aft ship has no weapons at all, shields only, and the point vessel is pouring everything into attack." "A suicide squadron," she concluded. "The freighter is an important target." "Or perhaps these coral skippers are damaged beyond repair. The leaders figure they've got nothing to lose but the pilots. Maybe the pilots made the decision to go out fighting." The Chiss female received this in silence, as she had all of Jag's attempts to describe the Yuuzhan'vong's apparent philosophy. There was nothing in Shankir's culture that could help her find logic in the notion of a glorious death. "Point ship first," he said, coming around into firing position. Jag fired a concussion missile at the lead vessel. Shankir followed with a barrage of laser fire, exploding the missile just short of the alien shielding and right in the path of the diamond-shaped wedge. The lead skip pulled up sharply, but the leading edge of the explosion caught it and sent it tumbling wildly. Jag fired a second missile. The out-of-control ship exploded. Shards of black coral streaked across the sudden brightness, the opposite image of star lines against the blackness of space. "Regroup right under the shield ship and slightly behind," Jag suggested. "Stay with it and stay together." "As ordered, but they won't hesitate to fire upon one of their own." "That's what I'm counting on. Get right in close, just beyond its shielding range." The two claw craft dipped under the rear coral skipper and sent a syncopated barrage of laser fire at the inner sides of the damaged wing ships. With astonishing agility, the coral skippers dipped and crossed paths. They changed places and rose back into formation, so that the viable weapons and shields pointed at the claw craft. As Shankir anticipated, the skips returned fire. The rear skip absorbed each of the plasma streams, swallowing one after another. The trio of coral skippers moved in astonishing unity, dipping and twisting in an attempt to shake their Chiss shadow. But Jag and Shankir held their positions, and each bolt of plasma disappeared into the guard ship's singularities. "They may sacrifice this skip to take us out," Jag said. "The first time plasma hits your shield, get away, fast, full power. If the rearguard skip isn't shielding, it could generate a gravity pull like a tractor beam." The skips kept firing. Their coral hulls paled to translucency under the continued Chiss onslaught. Huge chunks of the skips ripped away and hurtled toward the stubborn claw craft. Jag yawed sharply to avoid a piece of the vessel nearest him. The body of a Yuuzhan'vong pilot shot from the wreckage of the other ship, aimed directly, and probably deliberately, at Shankir's claw craft. A blue streak shot from Shankir's vessel and reduced the once-living projectile to a grim nebula. Jag tried to ignore the splatter on his cockpit viewer. He squinted up through it toward the underside of the sole remaining coral skipper. Its hull was also thinning. Heated coral paled to a ghostly translucence. "Break!" he shouted as he leaned his ship sharply away. Coral erupted into the sky, pushed along by a brief, bright explosion. Volcanoes were nothing new to him. One of the planets in Chiss territory had an extremely volatile geology. But seeing a living thing erupt in similar fashion made the Yuuzhan'vong seem at once more familiar and more unknowable. Jag doubted he'd ever be able to witness a volcanic eruption again without viewing it as the death throes of a mountain.
It didn't occur to him to share this thought with Shankir. Long experience with the Chiss had taught him to keep fanciful notions to himself. Instead, he switched his calm to hailing frequency. "This is Vanguard One, a Chiss scouting vehicle. New Republic freighter, please identify yourself and tell us how we can further assist you." There was a moment of silence. Then the comm crackled. "This is the Blind Minok. We have no valuables aboard, no passengers. There's no profit in boarding us." Jag sent a sidelong glance at his wingmate. An expression of grim outrage had settled over the Chiss female's features. "We are not pirates," he said flatly. "If you require an escort, we will accompany you to Hapen space." "We've no need of whelp tending," the pilot blustered. "The Minok has plenty of speed and firepower." Jag's patience began to fray. "If you had weapons, you would have returned fire in the hope of protecting your non-existent cargo and paying passengers. This sector has a history of piracy, so I understand your caution. On the other hand, it also has a demonstrated Yuuzhan Vong risk. If you'd rather take your chances with them, say so plainly and we'll respect your choice." The comm crackled promptly. "They fried our navigational computer," a different voice said, "which is why we came so close to wearing your ship as a hull ornament. We'll have to input the jump coordinates manually. Problem is, we don't know them offhand. If you could see your way clear to giving us directions to Hapes, we'll be on our way." Jag named the coordinates and watched as the freighter lumbered off, then lurched into sublight acceleration.
"Shall we follow them?" Shankar asked.
"They don't seem eager for company," he observed. "But let's report to Hapes, see what information we can gather there. Maybe even pick up a few more pilots."
"A new squadron, Commander? You asked for a Chiss phalanx and were refused. Do you intend to build a substitute?"
"We could scout more efficiently with more eyes," Jag argued.
"True enough. And when this scouting squadron encounters the Yuuzhan Vong, it will be able to engage them more efficiently than could a pair of Chiss clawcraft.
You make it sound as if we're on an offensive mission." The female's clawcraft edged closer so that their wingtips were nearly touching.
"Not at all, sir. Our mission is to scout out enemy activity, not to initiate battle through first strike tactics. It is manifestly clear, however, that the Yuuzhan Vong have no such compunction. Once the first shot is fired, and it will be, we are obligated to defend ourselves."
Jag sent a startled glance at his wingmate.
"I know why we've come, sir," the Chiss said softly, "and so do you."
For once, Jag had nothing to add. "To Hapes, then," he said, and began to prepare for the jump.